When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Both fundamentally on the field, executing baseball plays, and also thinking ahead and mentally being ahead of the game and making good decisions out there on the field. And, today was not a good day for that for us, so we're going to use it as a day to learn from our mistakes, and we had more than one.
Baseball plays, making baseball plays.
Is that really what he just said? Did he just say we had a hard time making baseball plays against the Detroit Tigers? Baseball plays?
Baseball plays.
So what went wrong? I would say all the baseball plays. It's really tough. About 3 hours there of just having a hard time making baseball plays. Welcome to the show, everybody. Mackie and Judd, daily Minnesota sports entertainment, and we want titles. And the Twins are far away from titles, and so we have things to say in statements here. Should we just get started? I feel like Judd's ready to pop here, and maybe Dex, you and I can just clear out.
Yeah.
Just let Judd have his space here.
Mount Zolgad from SLP has made his trek into St. Paul today to erupt over the Twins.
Yeah. All right, these are statements from us from the weekend.
Let's get right to it. Let's like rip the Band-Aid right off. It's Monday. Why not, right? There's no sugarcoating this crap. And in fact, by the way, we are doing you.
Mean, who's trying to sugarcoat it? I don't know what you're talking about.
We are doing
about.
You a service. All right. My first statement on this Monday. Are you bleeping serious? And you know what's great about that statement?
It
covers a wide array of everything Minnesota Twins. It covers the product on the field. Are you bleeping serious? It covers something I'm sure we'll get to, which is the television media partner of the Twins. But most importantly, yeah, if the boys can only score 14 runs in this game, they can really get on track. And third of all, it covers what I want to get to off the top, because we can talk about the crap on the field, but I feel like people are probably bored with that and not tuning into our podcast to hear that right now, and I don't blame them. But on the note of my third, are you bleeping serious? So we get the report on Friday from reporter extraordinaire Ken Rosenthal, The Athletic. That Byron Buxton, the Twins are trying to sign him long term, and if they can't, they are seriously considering trying to trade him at some point, either by the deadline on July 30th or during the course of the winter. Now, there is no question, Ken Rosenthal, extremely well plugged in, so no reason not to believe that. Another guy who's well plugged in is Buster Olney, ESPN, who clearly did some of his own legwork follow-up on the Rosenthal report to try and get more information. And basically what he came away with is, and I think this came from the Twins, and it might be a ploy. If it is, it's okay. But if it's not, it's an are you bleeping serious? That the Twins are sending teams away when they ask about guys who are under contract for 2022. That includes Berríos and Buxton, which, you know what? If you don't have the right offers for them, I sort of get. But if are you really sending teams away that are asking about Taylor Rogers, Josh Donaldson, that next level of guy who you should be more than willing to trade because this thing's a dumpster fire? And by the way, I'm not so sure it's coming back in 2022. Are you serious? If you are really telling teams, look, this is a blip. We'll trade you Cruz. We'll trade you Andrelton Simmons. But, you know, Max Kepler can't do it. You're idiots. Honest to God.
Well, I think it means that because you know we keep hearing these rumblings that hey, the Twins think this is a blip. The 2021 is just here's a list of eight different excuses or reasons, whether it was the COVID outbreak in the clubhouse at the beginning or just guys having slow starts, you know, unprecedented slow starts. You know, Miguel Sano, well, if he could just get comfortable and you know, if he could just wait till he makes one more swing tweak in Nelson Cruz's basement batting cage, right? Like, but I don't know. Like, I want to have hope so badly for 2022 because this has felt like a multi-year window for a long time. But where are you getting your pitching from in 2022? You know, you're not going to go out and sign three top free agents. They've never done that on the pitching side before. I haven't even looked at a list of available guys. But, like, They would literally need three or four guys to emerge, and Bailey Ober maybe is one of them. Maybe he takes a step forward. They would need a couple other young gun pitchers to come up and just click right away in 2022 or swing a big trade of some kind for a guy under team control. So I think like I'll give you my statement here, my first statement of the show today. I think the Twins, with those reports, the Twins think that they can compete for a World Series in 2022. And I would love for that to be the case. I would love for this to have been a blip. But I think if you're looking at this thing objectively and saying, well, Nelson Cruz is gone. You don't have Berríos is your only viable starting pitcher right now. Your bullpen is in shambles. And a lot of guys in their prime, like Sano and Kepler, that were supposed to be carrying this franchise, have mostly fallen on their faces. So it does feel like a reset at minimum. I don't think it's a full rebuild because I think you have enough, like you've got Kirilovs and Larnix and you've got some guys, but I just don't know if how they view their situation matches reality at this point.
But the reset would also involve making some deals that might be seen as a bit gutsy to reset as quickly as possible, not hanging on to guys. I mean, the problem is this. In fact, the perfect example, Taylor Rogers. Are you going to re-sign him after 2022 when I believe it'll be 31 or 32 and pay him? Because my guess is you're not going to. So why wouldn't you be listening right now? I mean, that's the type of guy who in 3 years we could be talking about that trade and wow, look at these guys that came back to the Twins or this guy who is now, by the way, under team control. And I did get notes back when I tweeted about this. Look, they're just being smart. They're trying to float out there that they're not going to trade guys to drive the price up. Wish I could give them that much credit. I ain't seen a lot in the last year or so that gives me a lot of confidence that they're doing that. If they are, good for them. But I need to see it then. I need to see Taylor Rogers traded on July 30th. And, oh, my God, look at the haul. I'm just disgusted.
My statement is, in retrospect to this trade, the Twins neglecting team control from Buster Olney, it's take advantage of the three-course meal. So sometimes just appetizers is fine. And you're talking to a guy who loves him some appetizers. Like, I get that. The apps are good. They're starters, right? They're rentals. They're just a little thing to tie you over to get you to the end game. But the three-course meal, there's things that we could sell here that could actually get you a better payoff and a much better dinner for you. Instead of just going to the fried appetizers, why not look at the filet mignon? Why not look at Jose Berríos? He doesn't want to sign back here. You may as well take the calls and see if you can get a couple hundred top 100 prospects in here and try to make something work. You know, Anderson Simmons, Nelson Cruz, you're going to be able to find suitors for those. That's fine. But I'd much rather you listen to offers for guys like Jose Berríos and Taylor Rogers. I'm iffy on Buxton, but I'm not going to just neglect a phone call. So take advantage of a three-course meal. Derek Falvey and Thad Levine are savvy guys. I bet they like three-course meals. Take advantage of it. That's my opening statement.
I'm going to piggyback off that and say this. jumping in line here on statements, but since we're sort of bandying about this topic, Jose Berríos does sound like a guy who wants out after 2022. This is from the Star Tribune over the weekend. Jose Berríos' assessment of his own contractual status, he's eligible for free agency 15 months from now, offers a clue to the Twins' chances of getting that deal done. To put it bluntly, it might be too late. Quote from Berríos, I will have been waiting 6 years, almost seven, to get where every player wants to be, a free agent, and be able to maximize our value. Talking about him and his family and his agency, I would assume.
Yep.
So it's different now. We are in a good position, and we'll see what the best deal is going to be.
Yep.
Here's more. Now, it's a matter of seeing if he can get the best deal at market price from the Twins before the other 29 teams enter the bidding. Does he expect that? Quote, maybe. The Twins can do whatever they want, Berríos said. If they come to us and make an offer, we'll see what the future has in store. But we waited a long time, worked very hard to get to this position.
Yes.
He's basically saying there's almost no way that they can offer anything that will get us to not go to free agency in a year and a half from now. And so, you know, could you go back to it? You know, Doogie's been reporting for 3 years that the Twins have been making some sort of offer to Berríos. Hey, can we tie up your last 4 years of team control, your last 3 years, your last 2 years? And he keeps saying no because, I mean, you could say maybe the Twins keep lowballing him. We don't know what the exact figures are. But how would you guys proceed here? I don't blame him. Like, I don't blame him for looking around and saying, well, all right, they haven't offered me something that's like a no-brainer to sign. I've made it this far. I'm going to be a free agent after next year. And, like, this team no longer feels like a World Series contending team in 2022. So if I want to win and make the most money, in his mind, the Twins probably don't check either one of those boxes based on what's happened this year. So I would prefer the Twins to try and sign him, and I would overpay a little bit because the Twins' avenues for getting pitchers like Berríos are very limited. Like, building from within is about the only way you can get a guy as good as Berríos. So I would continue to offer him contracts that I think are fair market value. I would pay him over $100 million across multiple years. That's my plan A. If he continues to say no, kind of goes back to the first statement from Judd. You almost have to trade him in the next couple of weeks if you can't reach an agreement, because getting the most from a trade is you're going to maximize his value if a team gets him for two playoff stretches. So, interesting situation.
Don't forget, too, he also pitches for a manager who I think, in his perception, right or wrong, probably more right, doesn't completely trust him. So, like, he is the best pitcher on this staff, and yet there have been lots of times where he is treated like he is the third starter or fourth. Dude, you pitched five great ones. Now let's go to that bullpen of ours so they can pour gasoline on the damn game. So if I'm Berríos, I don't like that. He has long contended. I'm telling you, going back to the guy who he was wrong about what his interpretation was, but it was clear what his feelings were when the Twins let go or traded or did something with a scrub reliever, and he ended up with Philadelphia. And Berríos put out a tweet that day, I believe it was a Saturday, saying it always comes down to money. And his perception was that the Twins wouldn't pay him. That wasn't right, but that's not the point. The point is, I think he thinks the Twins are, when it comes to handling him, somewhat gutless. I think he thinks that they're cheap. And look, if you don't go to Berríos right now and say, what's it going to take? And by the way, he's going to tell you ace money. And I think he's going to say true ace. I think he's going to say the Zach Wheeler contract 30. Is where we start. Mm-hmm. I think that's what he's going to say. And if you're like, can't do that, then trade him by July 30th. And by the way, if you don't, here's the moronic thing. So there's something else at work here that makes this more egregious if he basically says, I am going to market. And if he goes to market, he's gone. He's not coming back here. But the thing at work is, keep in mind, 2022 is a wild card. Like, we don't know if there's going to be a lockout. We don't know, but there could be. We don't know when it's going to start. We don't know if it's Armageddon or a blip. But I think from a team's perspective, you guys, you have to assume worst case. Like, that has to be on the docket. You can't not assume what's the worst case here. And if you don't trade Berríos for what I think could be a pretty good return, by July 30th and you keep him, and let's say you lose a significant chunk to most of next year and his contract does not toll, you can't trade him then.
But here's the thing, like, I feel like you're on the you just need to trade him in the next 2 weeks bandwagon, and I'm saying beware. If you trade him in the next 2 weeks, I get why you do, but if you trade him in the next 2 weeks, you are essentially waving the white flag for the next two seasons. Because now you need now you need five new starting pitchers.
But your job as an executive is to examine every side of this and decide if he is going to walk and we can't bring him back, the best time to trade him is in the next 2 weeks. Now, if you go to him, and here's where Donaldson comes in, too. I'm telling you, go to teams and tell them you can have him. Take as much of the contract as possible. We'll take a Babe Ruth player back. We'll take a kid who's playing Legion ball back.
We will take
a player from the Babe Ruth League back, a Legion player back, and here's why. If you are going to try to sign Berríos, you probably need to free up as much cash as possible to make that move, and part of that's going to come by getting rid of contract. Because there's no way that they're going to go to the poll ads with the Berríos ask, and it's going to be like, absolutely. There's going to have to be some pain there. But I'd rather keep Berríos than Donaldson. I'd rather get nothing back for Josh than have Berríos walk. But there's a lot of things here that the Twins are, I feel like, actively screwing up because they believe it was just a blip. Listen, this might not be just a blip. You got to think about what's going on here.
Judd is up next here, and Judd's next statement is going to be powered by our friends at Dennis Kirk, who are helping the Twins, any players that are looking to ride out of town via trade, whether they ride on a Harley, whether they ride on a Metro Cruiser, a sport bike, and they can get those helmets at DennisKirk.com. 160,000 parts and accessories in stock. Order by 8 p.m. and they ship the same day, and shipping is free for orders over $89. When the open road calls, head to DennisKirk.com. They ship today.
Okay, are we done with the trade portion? Because I'd like to move on with a statement.
Yeah.
Declan?
Yeah. Okay. It's your show. Yeah, you're fine.
No, it's a family. It's a community.
Oh.
Everyone's involved. Mackie and Judd is a family here. So if there's more grievances to air about potential trades, I just wanted to make sure that we got those out of the way.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right.
I'm good, pal.
On to my next thing. Bally Sports North thinks you are, all of you, and us too, idiots. Absolute idiots. So I'm in the grocery store at Cub in line on Saturday, scrolling through. Actually, I had gone to my text that I had received, and my friend Phil Mackey had sent Declan and I the screen grab from the most ridiculous graphic I have seen in 51 years on this earth, following sports closely.
I wasn't sending it to you to mock it. I was sending it to you to fire up the troops. I'm ready for a big second half tear. You can interpret it however you want.
I took that as being the most idiotic, asinine graphic that I have ever seen. By the way, to accompany Sinclair, by paying Xfinity, I pay a lot to get you, so I expect to be coddled. I expect to be treated like an adult. I expect to be treated like I have half a brain, not like I'm some moron schlepping on my couch saying, oh, look at if the Twins play 699 ball for the next couple months, they can win the division.
Get it right, first of all. Let's explain to the audience.
I'd rather rip 'em.
Okay, This is before the Twins played on Saturday, so they're coming out of the gate for the second half. They had just completed a sweep going into the All-Star break.
Mm.
Second half surge, ? With a big photo. I guess we could have popped this up on the screen if I had sent it over, but big photo of Rocco Baldelli. 12 games back in the wild card race, but if they go 53-20 in the second half, which would be a 726 win percentage, that would get them to 92 wins, all right? It would be one game better than the best 73-game stretch in the major leagues since 1994, which was Arizona in 1999. Arizona did have Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling at the top of that rotation.
Details.
Pretty sure?
Details.
Or was it? No, that might have been a different
game. I don't know if Schilling was there, but I think Randy Johnson was.
Or was Randy Johnson with the I don't remember.
It doesn't matter.
Not the Twins.
But I'm just saying, like, I'm just like, you view it as negative. I view it as, let's pump it up, baby. Let's get this thing going in the second half of the season. All right.
You don't pay for the service. I do. What I think matters. You people ever treat me like that again, I will find illegal ways, like some people I know, I don't want to talk about them, like some people I know, to watch your games. My God, I kept cable for this.
Okay, hear me out. Hear me out, okay? So, J-Haps had a tough little start to the season here, right? 17 starts. He's got a 6.15 ERA. So, it's been a rough start, all right?
Yeah.
He's going to make probably 15 more starts the rest of the way. So I've done some number crunching on this thing, all right?
All right.
If he can finish with 15 consecutive scoreless shutouts, he can shave his ERA mathematically down to 2.56.
All complete games?
They'd have to be complete games to get the innings, right?
Okay.
Now, Kevin Gausman leads the majors with a 1.73 ERA, so he'd have to come up a little bit. But listen, difficult? Yes. Impossible? No.
This isn't funny. None of this is funny. See my cable bill? Very big.
Listen, okay? Miguel Sano has 15 home runs. Pretty good start. Pretty good start to the season, power-wise. 15
power,
home
got
runs,
some pop,
okay?
No question.
So there's 70 games left. 70 games left. If he can hit 59 home runs over 70 games. So not even a home run a game, okay? 59 home runs over 70 games.
Yep.
He has a chance to break Barry Bonds' single-season home run record. Difficult? Yes. Impossible? I don't think so.
Oh, God. You know,
why you have to be so negative?
The fact that you put those graphics out on Twitter, too, was outstanding. I absolutely loved it. Do you know how much tougher our jobs are made by these jokers at Bally's trying to make their partners happy?
Well, because a lot of people, you've been tweeting about this.
Yeah, I tweeted.
You've been getting some pushback. Like what? So they are financially in bed with the Minnesota Twins, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a multi-million-dollar annual deal. Like, so they're not just going to get on TV and savage the Minnesota Twins. You're not going to. Tim Lauder is not going to roll up the sleeves and be like, camera one, zoom in right now.
Right,
I've got a few things
down
to say about this garbage piece of crap team.
Yep.
Like they would cut the feed. So what do you, as a subscriber and a consumer who pays money to watch Bally Sports North, what's a reasonable expectation for you, what you want as a viewer?
I want realistic discussions about the expectations and where this team is now and where it can go. And I also want my analyst to always tell me the good and, here's the key thing, Justin, the bad. You know more about baseball than I will ever know, and you can shed light on things that are bad, too. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you rip them, but that does mean you say, like, if Rocco Baldelli, and I said this way back when about the Panther and Greenlay on Wild Games, okay? I always said this.
The Panther.
That's what Patrick calls him, the Panther. And I think Wes Walls calls him that, too. Anyway, so my test case was always this. If you know that Boots is going to get to the mic post game and rip the team, you can start telling me what's going wrong. Like, you don't need to sugarcoat this. If the coach is going to, on your post game show, rip the team, then you're safe to say, here's what they're doing wrong. Again, I'm not asking you to rip players or people, but I am asking you to tell me, if everything's going bad, tell me what's going bad. Like, go down that path. When Rocco Baldelli goes to the post-game Zoom, Rocco never criticizes, basically, right? And says what he said that Declan played at the top of our show today, which is, we basically did nothing well baseball-wise. Justin Morneau and Dick Bramer, and by the way, I'm told that Provis and Gladden did exactly this. So this is not, like, unheard of. And they don't sit there and rip the team apart, but they both express their disdain or their disgust, and they tell you why. That's all I'm asking for. And the other thing, too, is at this point in time, we are 2 weeks out from the deadline. You can have a discussion about the Rosenthal report, the Buxton thing. Good networks that actually empower their announcers do. That doesn't mean that you have to say, well, Buxton, or criticize him, or say he's a great player, phenomenal. But there is a credible report out there from one of the great baseball insiders about a star player on this team, and your team stinks, so your games are boring. So you can have a conversation about the deadline without trying to always, it's the rope-a-dope is so obvious too, because what they like to do is when things don't go well, they talk about what they did as kids, or they talk about, they had a big conversation about if Morneau played basketball yesterday. And he's like, yeah, I quit hockey as a senior in high school to play basketball, to get in shape for baseball. I don't need that. I can get that on like a Morneau podcast. What I need is what's going wrong here and why and what can be done to fix it. And I don't think that's that big of an ask. And I sure as hell don't need condescending graphics telling me difficult? Oh, yeah. Impossible? No. It just it disgusts me to for a media entity. Like the one thing we don't do and I've never done is I don't assume people that consume our content are stupid. That's not fair to them. Like, it's so condescending. And it, again, it empowers the poor jokers out there who are like, look at Mackie and Zolgan and Declan. Look at how they're negative. We're not negative. We're realistic. And we like to have good conversations about sports. When we become a bad sports town is when we fire up Bally Sports North and get fed a load of crap like that. It just disgusts me.
Oh, all right. I mean, you can take that stance, but hear me out for a second, okay? I was talking to our friend X-Twins News Twitter last night.
Friend of the show.
So Luis Arraez is now hitting .299, okay? If he goes 101 for 217, so he needs 101 hits in 217 at-bats to finish the season, all right? If he can hit .465, which is what that clip would be from here on out, he can be the first guy to hit 400 in the major league since Ted Williams in the early 1950s. Come on now.
We're gonna win, Twins. We're gonna score. We're
Watch
that baseball. Oh. I mean, we've seen hot stretches before from Luis.
Well, I mean, he does remind us of basically he's a reincarnation of Carew and Teddy Ballgame, right? Like, he's a combination of those
and
two.
Gwynn.
Oh, and Tony Gwynn.
There's a lot of Gwynn in there, for sure.
Williams, no question about it. Oh, one last quick statement off this rant, okay? Because I would like to throw out a congratulations. There is a Bally Sports North employee I would like to congratulate, and I would like to think took the high road realizing that graphic means I can't work here. Annie Sabo gets it. Annie Sabo has resigned from Bally Sports North, and she was on the pre and post, which is probably the greatest offender. I mean, those poor people, do they sit down and like, okay, we could talk about this really interesting thing the Twins goofed up, or we could talk about that? No, let's talk about Andrelton Simmons doing community service while being non-vaxxed. That's what we'll talk about, and getting a bunch of kids sick. Annie Sabo, last night, Instagram, Twitter said, I'm going home to Florida to be with my fiance. Peace out. Annie Sabo, congratulations.
I caught a few minutes. There was some sort of digital extra clip with Annie. And by the way, I think Annie has done an awesome job in the 2 years. And I don't know, it's probably more of a lifestyle decision just to move back to Tampa.
No, she couldn't take anymore.
Poor Annie in that post game last night or yesterday, she was trying to throw it to Tim Laudner with some semblance of positivity. Like, this team is garbage. They're, 15 games under .500. They just got shut out to get swept by the Tigers. I think Akil Badu hit a 3-run triple on Saturday, like a former Twin second. Like, there's nothing to take away here. And so, and she's trying to find a positive because that's the edict, right? Well, they did have 6 hits, Tim. is there any? I mean, what are you supposed to
Unreal.
Do? What are you supposed to do? There's got to be some sort of, I'm with you on this in that. So I put a poll out just out of curiosity after that initial graphic on Saturday, which got savaged, by the way. And I said, I'm just curious, how do you want your local media to be? Positive all the time? Tell it like it is, please. Or just talk more Brett Favre. Well, I think the fact that 16 people voted Brett Favre means you might have to ramp up the Brett Favre conversations, right? Only 4% said positive all the time. 80% said tell it like it is, please. But I don't know, man. I think a lot of people think they want to be told what the reality is, but really they want some sort of positive spin on it. But I think when everybody involved, from the manager to the front office to the players themselves to media and fans, when you know that you're staring at a steaming pile of baseball crap, It doesn't mean that it's always going to be this way. It doesn't mean that it's always been this way in the past. You can still celebrate things in the past and be hopeful for the future, but yeah. I think to serve it up as anything other than a huge disappointment is definitely insulting fans and treating them like they're stupid. So I don't expect them to be super negative. I don't expect them to just – I don't expect Dick and Justin to just be teeing off for 3 hours on Miguel Sano like I do sometimes.
No, but you can talk about what's wrong.
Yeah, but, like, is there some way to present it that's not just like – hey, if the Twins go on a historic stretch for the last 70 games right. of the season, they can maybe win 90. Wah, wah, and they get swept in a doubleheader 5 minutes later. Like,
and all right, I mean, if they had taken some time, for instance, on Saturday to talk about the Buxton report, that would have been good. I would have loved to heard their thoughts. It would have been really intriguing. To be clear, I'm not looking for them to tear the team apart, but I am looking for a realistic conversation. And the thing that Corey and Danny on radio do so well is you can sense their disgust too. Like that's the thing that I don't think broadcasters get. You can be a fan of the team. I mean, it's hard not to be. I get that.
Hawk Harrelson is probably the best of this, mm-hmm. right?
But when they're not playing well, what do fans do? They get disgusted, right? They get upset. And so, again, not teeing off, but, you know, Gladden's a really good barometer of what I want. Because he can't help himself. It's a bit like Wes Walls was on Wild Games during their period of driving me crazy. I appreciate that. That's good.
Well, Jim Pete,
yes.
You know, within the Bally's pantheon, like Jim Pete's one of the best local commentators in the entire country. Yep. Like if you go flip around League Pass and listen to other NBA games, not only with just the way that he delivers a professional broadcast, but the way that he's able to, on a team that's been pretty putrid for the last decade and a half, yep. save for a couple fun seasons, he's been able to call it like it is. Now, there's been some times, like during the Tom Thibodeau era, where Scott Layden, Tom Thibodeau, wouldn't talk to Jim Peterson. They would tell players and assistant coaches, don't talk to Jim Peterson. He's too negative. So I get that you're going to get some blowback. You're going to get some pushback. But to me, and what I'm about to say is difficult because your loyalty as a network when there's that much money involved is to the team.
Mm-hmm.
But really, like, your loyalty, first and foremost, is to the fans because that's the audience that you're trying to attract. And so I love the way Jim Pete goes about it on the basketball broadcasts, and Dave Benz, too. But Jim Pete will say, Carl Anthony Towns needs to do this
yes.
if he wants to be a superstar in this league.
Yes.
Great. And he'll compliment Towns on the next play just to balance it out, right? Like, it shouldn't be this novel concept when you're dealing with a steaming pile of
Jim Pete
dung.
Jim Pete should, I think, teach classes to the Bally Sports North commentators on how to do it. Because you're right. It's the perfect mix. And you know what, too? You never come away, I don't think, personally, from a Wolves game on the BS network saying to yourself, I think Jim Pete wanted the Wolves to lose. You never think that. Like, it's very crystal clear. His frustrations are born from the fact that they don't win, but it also opens up a window for him to tell you things. And the thing that I love about that the most is, guess who learns? We do. Like, Jim Pete knows more about basketball than we'll ever know. So if he tells you what Towns is not doing right, like, I would love to have what Smalley did few years ago on Sano's swing. Those breakdowns were phenomenal. And they weren't always positive, but they taught me. That's what I want.
Hear me out, okay? All right, hear me out. If Taylor Rogers can save 35 games in the second half of the season here, all right? Any final statements from you guys before we jump into some amazing and glorious Wolves reckless speculation?
Dex, you got one more?
I have a wild one, I guess, and it was just more of a which problem.
Way to sell it. Way to sell it, Dex.
Yeah, I got a wild one. Yeah, Minnesota wild one.
I'm really enthused about this statement.
Yeah,
deliver it with gusto. Come on.
All right. Which problem do you want to fix, Minnesota Wild? Which problem do you want to fix? So the expansion draft lists, the protected lists have been released. Matt Dumba ended up being protected, exposing Carson Soucy, Victor Rask, Kaapo Kakkonen. Nick Bjugstad and a few other, you know, middling, low-tier guys that don't matter. The problem is Carson Soucy or Kaapo Kakkonen are probably the two most likely players to be taken in the expansion draft by the Seattle Kraken. Soucy's a nice top-four defenseman. Kaapo Kakkonen's a young goalie that you can control with his rights and his contract for years to come. And for the Wild side, you're probably going to lose one of those two players. So you have to figure out, do you want to replace basically two defensemen, because you bought out Ryan Suter, which is a task, by the way. Like, that is a task to replace the minutes of Ryan Suter and Carson Soucy. All of a sudden, you're looking to eat up 20 to 25 minutes of two players who are a big part of your blue line. Or do you want to try to fix your backup goaltending role? Which, it's always easier to probably take that route, because goaltending is a really volatile position and there's a bunch of free agent goalies out there this year. I think it's probably easier, but it might be a tough thing to see if Cam Talbot regresses this year and Kaapo Kakkonen ends up flourishing with the Seattle Kraken, because they now have a young, controllable goalie for the next 10 years. But I do think the problem you're going to want to fix, if you're Bill Guerin and you're Wild fans right now, is finding the next backup goalie instead of trying to figure out a new defenseman to pair on this team with a Matt Dumba or whoever it's going to be.
What's Kaapo's upside?
That he turns into a number one goalie. I mean, he played pretty well, at least for a good stretch of this last season.
He struggled late, but
he
was really good. When Talbot was out for a while there, and I guess we'll qualify as the middle of the season, Kaapo was really, really solid. But Declan's right, and here's the conundrum that your club, Mackey, don't deny it. It is your club, the Kraken, face.
They're not my club. They are your club.
Why would you adopt them? I'd adopt them. You could become a hockey guy through and through now. You live in a hockey town. There's no NBA team.
The Wild have one of the five best players in the NHL and the best player in franchise history. I think I don't think I'm going to sell that stock for an expansion team.
The conundrum is this. The Montreal Canadiens have exposed Carey Price, the future Hall of Fame goaltender, who evidently is going to get a checkup in New York and might have a bunch of stuff wrong. He might like have a hip problem now and stuff like that. But he's not going to get the checkup until like Wednesday or Thursday. And the Kraken has the opportunity to take him, but it's going to be without a complete workup. I don't think they will, but there's a chance that they do. And if they take Carey Price and can get him healthy, it'll be interesting to see what other goaltenders they take. But yeah, I'm with Dex. If it's between Soucy and Kaapo, I'm probably in favor of them taking Kaapo, because with my guy Suits gone, that's going to cause you to then have to replace him and Soucy. Soucy's not spectacular, but he's reliable. So
yeah, I think the biggest question is, does Seattle want to load up on veteran players and make a run in the next couple of years and try and do what Vegas did, or do they want to pick off the younger guys with upside that have been left unprotected, and maybe it's a slower build?
That's what I do. Mm-hmm. I told you guys, expansion franchise, go ahead and lose. Lose all you want. People are still going to go to games.
I love how you somehow think that, like, Vegas going to the Stanley Cup Finals in their...
I'm just telling you how I build
year?
A team. Yes.
Yes, they're
yes,
first
which,
year.
By the way, was...
That was like a bad thing for the franchise.
Which was sort of a joke. Well, it's embarrassing in
it's
a league.
It's not embarrassing. It's embarrassing good. In I a want league. The teams to be good right away. The Wild's best player was Scott Pellerin
but
in the expansion draft.
They went to the Stanley Cup Finals. I'm not saying they can't be a playoff team. But are you telling me that they were a Stanley Cup Finals team in a league full of teams that should have been at least... knocked him out in the conference finals?
If you're going to pay that big entry fee to
get
in,
you're
going to
get a good team.
Good.
But I would not take a team full of veterans. I'm going to build it, because for 2 or 3 years, Seattle is going to... They're going to love the Kraken. They're going to go to games.
Trust the process.
They're going to go to games. I'm going to know my fan base. I mean, it's going to be at least, I think, 4 to 5 years before the Wolves move there. So it's going to be one winter sport town. It's going to be the Kraken. That's it. And then in 5 years, it'll be the Kraken and Wolves.
I don't know why you had to do the drive-by Wolves movie.
They have to go back to the Sonics. Like, that's the first thing.
Stop trying to drag my Wolves.
Quick question. If the Wolves moved there and adopted the Sonics name, which they should, and the league said, okay, as part of the transfer deal, we're going to leave the Wolves name. We're going to leave the Wolves name for the next franchise, because eventually Minnesota will get another team. Do you take it, or do you say it's not a bad name, but it's absolutely jinxed?
First of all, none of that will happen. But if it did happen, I would rather just pick a new name and erase the history of the franchise. Yes. If given the chance for like a 5 or 10 year reset, a new franchise comes in. Yeah, it's a little like I don't know. It's like that Annabelle doll from the horror movies, right? Just leave it in the closet. Just nobody go into the attic. All the wolves, the crunch mascot head, all of it can just sort of stay. Yeah.
When the wolves move, you will find out that I was right. When A-Rod becomes a hero in Seattle.
Enjoy a weed-free summer at the lake, courtesy of Aquaside. One easy application of Aquaside pellets can eliminate weeds and lake muck.
Ew.
Aquaside has been trusted by hundreds of thousands of lake homeowners since 1960. Neglecting aquatic weeds can hamper recreational activities like swimming and boating. Lake weeds can also provide breeding habitats for insects. Make your lakeshore beautiful this summer with Aquaside. Call 1-800-328-9350 or go to aquaside.com.
Speaking of Timberwolves, I have spent the weekend, you guys, I didn't even sleep this weekend. You guys were out day drinking and
I slept.
And ripping on the Twins. Dex slept through the WWE Money in the Bank pay-per-view last night.
After 13 hours of my Saturday, I was in bed at 9 o'clock yesterday, so.
I spent the weekend gathering Timberwolves multi-team trade ideas.
Reckless speculation
from some of our loyal listeners and social media followers. And I'm going to give you four of them here in just a moment. But my first question, because this happened late last week, this Damian Lillard stuff dropped, I think, on Friday. And we didn't really get a chance to do a deep dive into it. We touched on it with Doogie a little bit. But before we get to multi-team Timberwolves trade ideas, to what extent do you think the Wolves should seriously call Portland about acquiring Damian Lillard? Like, I get that the rest of the league and other fan bases are going to laugh at that question. And if you stumbled upon this episode via YouTube, scoring up the YouTube channel, like, you're probably already laughing. But Gerson Rosas has already traded for D'Lo. He's already shown a willingness and a want to go and grab top stars in the NBA. He comes on this show and says, yeah, we are hunting for superstars. And so I'm sure he's interested, even though the rest of the world might laugh at the notion of the Timberwolves. Like, of all the teams that you could go to, how laughable is it that they should pick up the phone and call Portland and have a legitimate discussion?
Well, they should definitely call. I don't think that they have, because if Dame is going to be dealt, and I saw some reports over the weekend now that say he fully expects to stay there. So I don't know what's going to transpire here. But I think you definitely make the call. But what I think you are is what we talked about last week, which is I think you are part of a facilitator for a multi-team deal. I don't think you're going to have – so if Dame is going to be moved, you should call. I don't think you're going to have the assets or – I shouldn't say that. You do have them. I don't think you're going to be willing to give up what Portland would want of your assets to get him here. And to me, Ant is a non-starter. I'm not trading Ant. I think they would definitely ask for Ant. But I do think the realistic groundwork that you could lay is, okay, that's cool. We probably can't do that. But what about us in Philly? And I don't know, take your pick, a Washington or something. Because I do think that the Wolves have parts that could definitely be dispersed in a multi-team deal that would not land Dame here, but could land a big fish here.
Dex, how laughable is it?
I don't know if it's laughable because, number one, these conversations happen all the time. I think it's less likely, like significantly less likely than getting Ben Simmons. I don't understand how it would work for the Timberwolves side. You're definitely giving up D'Lo in that instance because Dame's obviously going to be, you know, basically your shooter there. So I don't know if it's laughable, but I would definitely focus my energy more on the Ben Simmons or even, you know, Miles Turner is honestly more realistic than Ben Simmons too. I'd turn my attention on something that's either more obtainable or something that you've been linked to, because the Dame Lillard thing, is, who is one of my favorite athletes in all sports, man. I mean, that dude is clutch like no other. I love him, but I just don't know how it would fit here with the Timberwolves.
See, I think you absolutely have the assets. I think it's just a matter of how uncomfortable do you want to get in what the Blazers' asking price would be. Because even though Judd just said Ant's off limits, well, Damian Lillard's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's in his prime. He is 31, so like he's not going to be able to play like this forever. but he's under contract through 2025. So you've got an ironclad like 4-year run with Damian Lillard, probably 2 of those years prime, and then we'll kind of see on the last 2 years. If you went to Portland and said, actually, let me rephrase that. If you went to Portland,
reckless speculation,
and said, all right, this really hurts on our end to say, but it's Damian Lillard. We're going to give you Anthony Edwards and D'Angelo Russell. So two dudes, 25, D'Lo's 25, and Ant is one of the best young potential stars in a couple years, right? So you guys are going to compete this year for a playoff spot because you'll have some good pieces, and you're set for the next 10 years, maybe with Ant if you can maximize him. We'll see. But the Timberwolves would have Damian Lillard and Karl-Anthony Towns as a 1-2 punch. How many better 1-2 punches are you going to find in the Western Conference than Damian Lillard and Karl-Anthony Towns? Just saying, like, if you wanted to get uncomfortable and say, all right, everyone's on the table, including Anthony Edwards, mm-hmm. you have the capital to make it happen, maybe more than, and future first-round picks. Like, you've got more to offer if you put Ant on the table. I'm not saying I would do this. I'm just saying, like, if you wanted Damian Lillard, you could get Damian Lillard, and you could make the money work out. If you had to throw in somebody else, you could make it work out. Would you be open to it?
No.
Hey, Dame and Kat and everything else is... fair game.
No, I wouldn't. And here's my problem starting from Dame's camp, not the Wolves' camp. Kat's great. I like Kat. He's a good player. I don't know that he's great yet. I don't know that he's going to get to where his talent should get to, but I certainly am not putting Kat down. But if I'm Dame and I am potentially going to move from Portland, where I've been for a long time, I'm comfortable. But if I've just said, you know what, it's not going to work here, we're not going to... be able to really pursue a championship. If I'm Dame, then I don't want to, as I'm coming to the Timberwolves, I don't want to see going out the door Ant. Like, I think Ant is an absolutely key piece. So if I'm Dame, what would excite me if something would about playing here? It's two things. The skyways, because I never have to go outside. And the chance to play with, let's say, Kat and Ant. I think if it's just Kat, my desire to play here goes way down because I could be traded to better places then to have a real chance to pursue a championship fairly quickly.
And I think, well, yeah, I mean, I think,
but Ant,
and it sounds like he wants to go to either the 76ers or the Knicks based on a couple reports, which makes sense. Big markets, Eastern Conference too. So he can just, he's probably just having nightmares every night about having to face the Warriors fully loaded and LeBron now and Anthony Davis, if those guys are healthy. And then, the Suns aren't going to go away, right? Mm-hmm. But I think if you were to have swapped out C.J. McCollum the last 4 or 5 years with Karl-Anthony Towns, I don't think the Blazers win a title because I think Kat has a lot of work to do in terms of like defense and just intensity and stuff. But I think Dame and Kat is a much more compelling pairing than Dame and McCollum, whether it happens in Portland or whether, which it won't, or whether it happens in Minnesota, which it won't either, but it's fun to kick these things.
And by the way,
reckless speculation.
According to Basketball Real GM, their trade machine, D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards for Damian Lillard is a successful trade. That's a successful trade to them. So it works. The trade, the money definitely works.
And it's a wildly successful trade for the Blazers. Like if the Blazers mm-hmm. could come out with something like that, they should. And Dame doesn't want to play there anymore. Unless the Blazers somehow trade McCollum for a better star this offseason, like what are they going to do with Dame? Like this is probably a good time to just cash in for somebody else. Along those lines, I've got, if you guys are interested, 4 multi-team trades.
Reckless speculation.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay. So the first one's from a website called NBAAnalysis.net.
Mm-hmm.
And this one's presented by our friends at Federated. Okay. I got a feeling that if some of these trades we're about to go through come to fruition, then there's going to be a couple teams that are going to need insurance for how bad they got fleeced. And I don't know if Federated can help you with this, but they can help you if you're a business owner, make sure that you're maximizing the success of your business, lowering the potential for risk. When bad things do happen to your company, you want to make sure you have a partner standing behind you that can guide you along the way. So Federated and federatedinsurance.com, full list of industries and resources that you can tap into. So check them out. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours. Here's the first one, NBAanalysis.net. Timberwolves would receive Damian Lillard. The Blazers would receive D'Lo, Malik Beasley, Declan's guy Jaden McDaniels, a 2022 first-round pick swap, a 2023 first-round pick, a 2024 first-round pick swap, and a 2025 first-round pick. So you'd have the option of swapping if, like, because you can't trade back-to-back future first-round picks,
right?
But you could swap picks if it made sense. You know, you'd have the option to,
right?
So that's just a two-team trade. But here's the write-up: at some point, the competitive Western Conference will require the Timberwolves to either make an aggressive move with Cat or to hit the hard reset button. A move for Damian Lillard would be the kind of bold attempt to taking the next step that Minnesota could need. The Suns managed to emerge as title contenders after adding Chris Paul into the mix. What if the Timberwolves were to acquire Damian Lillard?
Reckless speculation.
Whoa. So my head is spinning from all of the first round trades there, but I got the...
It's two first-round picks, okay, and then two pick swaps, potentially.
But I get the player swap, and that is the type of trade that I'd be much more willing to do because it doesn't involve Ant. And if D'Lo has to be traded, okay, I get that. That's fine. Dex's guy, McDaniels, I think he might be involved in a deal because that's a realistic, really nice chip.
Yep.
To trade, and it's going to get you. And if it gets you big game, like if you go out star hunting, I think any team is going to say, Jaden McDaniels comes to us. And I also think that you say at that point, yes, the Beasley portion, I know he can shoot, but the off the court stuff does scare me. If that trade was on the table, I think I'd pull the trigger. I think I would. That sounds,
I think,
agreeable.
If there's any sort of deal for Dame that doesn't involve Cat or Ant, it's a Wolves fleecing. Like
Yeah.
Take more. Like, I love Jaden. He's great. Like, he's going to be a really good player. D'Lo's a really good player. Malik Beasley's a really good player. Like, Damian Lillard is an all-timer. He's one of the 50 best players in NBA history. And if you can somehow land him without giving up Cat or Ant, you've made yourself a contender now.
Mm-hmm.
And you've preserved, like, your next 10 years with Anthony Edwards being a bright young star.
And I think the only way that Dame agrees to come here is in a trade like that where you leave Ant and Cat here. I just don't see him saying, okay, I'll just go play with Cat. I just don't see it. But if you're getting Ant still in the mix, I think that becomes pretty attractive. I mean, that gives you a great big three. I was going to say nice. It's not nice. That gives you a great big three. Opportunity. It would be really fun to watch.
All right, here's another one. All right, this is from jcakes84, a three-team trade on Twitter.
I love the names.
That's great. Yeah, listen, there's a bunch that didn't make the show here, okay? A lot of cutting room floor.
We appreciate those too, though, by the way. Keep them coming.
So the Wolves would get Ben Simmons and Shake Milton from the Sixers. So he's like a rotational shooting guard.
Yeah.
Shake Milton.
All right. Shake Milton. Great name.
The Wolves would give up two first-round picks, Malik Beasley, Hernan Gomez, Culver, and Jalen Noel. And then I would add that, like...
Not Jalen Noel!
Some of those assets would be split between... Philly would send some of those assets to Portland. Philly would keep a couple because it would be a three-team trade that sends Dame to the Sixers. So Philly would be getting some of these assets, trading the first round picks and a couple other things to Portland. I think, and these are all trades that worked out in the real GM trade machine.
Okay.
Just so you guys know. So Ben Simmons and Shake Milton for two first round picks, Beasley, Hernan Gomez, Culver, and Jalen Noel.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a no brainer.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah.
Done deal.
Where do we sign?
We'll fax it in right now.
Seriously.
Like that's not I didn't even need to give that a second of thought once you said the names.
I will say that it becomes easier to get Ben Simmons. And for people wondering, why do you guys want Ben Simmons so bad? Well, it's not that we think that he's like the player that he was supposed to be 3 or 4 years ago. It's that, like, if you can add Ben Simmons without giving up one of your three best players, and you get all of his perimeter defense right. and his rebounding and his distribution, like,
right.
my God, it makes your team instantly a top six team in the Western Conference. But I think it becomes easier to get Simmons for less if there's a third and a fourth team involved, because mm-hmm. instead of looking at Philadelphia and Philadelphia saying, well, for you to get Ben Simmons straight up between the two of us, you have to give up D'Lo. You'd say, all right, well, like, what if Bradley Beal was involved? Like, then right. then what would it take to get Bradley Beal instead of and now you've got three teams churning assets. Here's another one. Ryan Voss Carlson. Five-team trade. The Wolves would get Ben Simmons from Philadelphia and Montrezl Harrell from the Lakers. He's basically like a more advanced version of Naz Reid. Just he's more of a veteran version. Naz might have a little more range.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. So Ben Simmons and Montrezl Harrell. And the Wolves would give Rubio, Beasley, Jaden McDaniels, Jarrett Culver, Naz Reid, and two future first-round picks. I'll give you the other like three teams in a second, but that's the Wolves part of it. Ben and then, Simmons
okay.
and Montrezl Harrell for Rubio, Beasley, Jaden McDaniels, Jarrett Culver, Naz Reid, and two future first round picks.
I mean, I hate to lose McDaniels, but beyond that, did you say a name of a player that I'm going to cry about losing?
Right.
I don't think you did.
Naz makes me cry a little bit.
Reed's good. Yeah.
Jaden McDaniels definitely makes
Here's why I've come around on the potential for a Ben Simmons trade from where I started at, because the shooting still does scare me and it's just going to, but the more I talk to, or the more that we discuss this and you talk to people off the air as well, the more you realize that if they come back with their current roster defensively, there's a very good chance they're still not good. Like Chris Finch's system could work more a little bit. I understand that. And look, defense is about effort, so I also get that if guys step up their effort, that's going to help. But Ben Simmons is a defensive difference maker immediately, who I think, and if you can leave D'Lo, Ant, and Cat on your roster, bring in a defender as good as Simmons is, you've elevated yourself immediately. And now at least a bunch of those questions about can the current group play defense are eliminated. They're gone. Right? So that's where I've started to come around. So beyond Jaden McDaniels, Dex, I don't think there's a name there that I'm going to balk at.
No. And, you know, I know there was the Naz Reid problems with some people, but again, if Naz Reid is the, you know, the straw that breaks the camel's back in a trade, but we are looking at the wrong thing here. We're putting our energy towards the wrong assets. I like Jaden McDaniels. You know, he looks like he's going to be a damn good defender and was a steal of a pick late in the first round. But if it gets me Ben Simmons or, in an instance, gets me Dame Lillard, I'm probably going to be able to pull the trigger on it. I can come to terms with that.
This five-team trade that we just laid out the Wolves part of it also involves Kyle Lowry going from Toronto to the Lakers and Damian Lillard headed from Portland to the 76ers. So you'd have – and so then basically Toronto and Portland would be getting the future assets, and then there'd be other picks thrown in by other teams.
So that was who? Portland, Minnesota.
Toronto.
The Lakers
and the Sixers.
I love that. That's great work. That is amazing. Awesome.
Reckless speculation.
That is Ryan being dedicated Carlson, to the craft.
It is.
I know. Great. I'm not kidding.
We will devote a segment a day on this podcast until the league year starts. If you guys have multi-team Wolves trade ideas, run them through trade machines. I got one more here, and I'm skeptical that this actually, but I did see the screenshot from the trade machine. Joe Fritz, 212 with a three-team trade. So the Wolves would get Ben Simmons. The Wolves would give Rubio's expiring contract, Malik Beasley, Josh Okogie. You need him to just be amazing in the Olympics. Just increase that trade value.
Yeah.
And then he's playing point guard, by the way, for Nigeria. And then two first rounders.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Sixers would spin assets to Washington for Bradley Beal. But the Sixers would somehow keep Malik Beasley. And this did get approved. So basically, Washington would trade Bradley Beal for Rubio's expiring Okogie, who's a total throw-in, and two first-round picks.
Okay.
which seems light to me for Bradley Beal. So I would think the Wolves might have to also give up like a Jaden McDaniels instead of an Okogie, send him over to Washington. So then they'd be getting Rubio's expiring, Jaden McDaniels, and 2 first-round picks, and Beasley. So I'm gonna make an executive decision and swap Okogie for Jaden McDaniels. Would you trade Rubio, Beasley, Jaden McDaniels, and 2 first-round picks for Ben Simmons?
Yes, I probably would.
Okay.
I need to give that one a little more thought than I did the previous one, but I probably would. I guess my question on Washington is this, because I think they're going to be, if I'm not mistaken, back to the drawing board. Like, I think they're going to be a mess again, especially if they trade Beal. So are they just looking to get as many expiring contracts as possible, too?
Yeah, I would think...
Is that what they're doing?
If they trade Beal, they're definitely back to rebuild. So if you're in the rebuild mode and you wind up with 2 future first-round picks, a good young player that could be a top 3 player on your roster, yep, and a $17 million expiring contract to at least bring in, you know, you could use that freedom next year to sign a restricted free agent or something.
Or Declan, Jaden McDaniels, Kevin Fiala's name is coming up. All of the guys that you have man crushes on, we're trying to run out of this town. Yep. It's not fair to you.
People get bought out, man. People get traded. It happens. It happens.
People get bought out. You're so jaded.
It happens. But sometimes on the waiver claim,
yeah, they get waived and then claimed.
You never know.
Yep.
Just grab that waiver claim.
You know what it's like? The Pirates. Like the Pirates, because they're so cheap, they'll get rid of you, bring you back for cheap for like a game or two or a night, and then that's it.
The good news is when you get bought out and you're not going out for happy hours and dinners anymore and whatnot, you got more time to golf. And so you can go to this golfer's paradise called PXG Minneapolis. It's pretty amazing. Check them out online at pxg.com/Minneapolis. All kinds of different great clubs of all price ranges. The top of the line are the Gen 4 clubs. These are the best performing clubs PXG has ever made. If you want to look sharp, whether you are golfing or whether you're just out on the town on the North Loop bouncing around to all those establishments, put your PXG shirt and apparel on and look badass. PXG Minneapolis in Southdale Center, and find out more at pxg.com/Minneapolis.
Speculation.
I swear, like, if people want to keep sending us trade ideas, and by the way, like, include the Wild. I don't know if there's like an NHL trade simulator like there are in the NBA, but if you guys have ideas for how the Wild and Wolves can make their rosters better and you can get them approved through certified online trade machines, send them our way on Twitter and Instagram. We will happily devote time on this show to your trade
ideas.
Absolutely. We will not crap on them like some other publications in town.
No, we don't ask for things and then mock them in our writing and or reporting. No, we don't do that.
We appreciate the work.
Yes.
You're basically helping produce the show when you do that.
Thank you, by the way.
Exactly.
Especially
right.
On Monday, you know.
Takes the load off us.
Please.
I mean, a 5-team trade? That dude did a 5-team trade. Mm-hmm. That's pretty impressive.
Pretty good. All right, that's a wrap on today's Mackey and Judd Daily Minnesota Sports Entertainment, and we just want titles. That's why we want Dame. That's why we want the Twins to be better at baseball.
We want the MLB.
Hi, this is Chris Howard, host of Plugged In with Chris Howard. The College Football Playoff Committee made their decision on Sunday, and as much as I loathe the idea of Ohio State losing their way into the College Football Playoff, I 100% agree with OSU making it in over Bama. Nick Saban citing some hypothetical point spreads to prove his point that the Tide deserve a spot in the College Football Playoffs holds little substance when you consider Bama's best win is over Texas. No, the committee got it right. TCU had a great season with far more ranked wins than Bama and didn't deserve to lose their spot after playing a surging Kansas State in a championship game. And Ohio State, while not playing some of their best ball later in the season, was still 12-0 until they came face-to-face with my Wolverines. While the college football playoff system isn't nowhere near as good as it could be, it's better than what we had. And in a few years, it will be better for all of college football. Hi, this is Chris Howard, host of Plugged In with Chris Howard. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From football to basketball to soccer and esports, we've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. And don't forget BetOnline for the NHL, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts.